One of the challenges of teaching through a book of the Bible from start to end is that you come across some passages like Chris just read earlier. Tough verses in the first part of chapter 5. At the end of chapter 4, James is challenging all of us to look ahead to the future, to try to make sure that we're living a life that's worthy, that's honorable, that is following Jesus Christ. And in order to do that, in order to make sure that our future is good, there's a big part of our life that we need to make sure that we are managing well. And it has to do with our possessions. What are we doing with those things that have been given to us? Because living here, we need to invest in forever. We don't need to just live for this world, for the benefits, for the blessings that we receive here. And as Jimmy shared earlier, all of us have so many blessings who are sitting right here today. In fact, I believe they are innumerable. But a big part of handling the future is to make sure that we know how to take care of earthly possessions. And by the way, they're not ours. They have been lent to us by God. The key is we need to know how to handle them well. And that's what we're going to talk about here today. We here in America, in this country, have more earthly possessions than any other nation in human history. I don't know if you've thought about that before, but the totality of the blessings, the material blessings that we have here, is greater than any other country has ever had in human history. So what are we going to do with them? I did a little research to try to kind of check out where we land in terms of wealth around the world. And there's an organization called World Bank that came up with an accurate assessment of that. They call it the purchasing power parity. And that means per person, the amount of money that we have. And we in America rank 9th out of 175 countries on the planet. That really surprised me. I really thought we would be higher than that. But then I realized it's per person. The countries that are higher than us in this ranking are the oil-rich countries of North Africa and the Middle East, a couple of smaller countries in Europe that have a lot of resources, as well as a couple of countries in Asia that do. But just to give you an idea, the number one country in the world is Qatar. And you might have been surprised by that, but what you may not realize, that country has 2.2 million people total in it. We have more than twice that many just in Metro Atlanta, and they have a lot of oil wealth. We here are incredibly blessed as a nation. So let's look at that picture. As we look at the world picture, we see that America is incredibly blessed, and here's what is the good news about that. We are not automatically sinful if we are wealthy. But neither are we automatically spiritual if we are poor. The key is what we do with what we have been lent. And this is going to be, I tell you, folks, studying this message this week just really challenged me in a great way. I'm always beat up before I come to beat you up, because God's word is really, really challenging here. I hope you'll hear his assignment for you. We're going to use a lot of scripture here, but I hope you'll make note of them, look back at them later, and reflect on them. Look at the challenge of 1 Timothy 6, verses 9 and 10. Those who want to get rich, in other words, if that's your goal, if that's your ultimate motivation, fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. In other words, who does it hurt? It hurts us. It hurts others that are around us. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So let's try to take this warning seriously. And let's see what we need to do with the blessings that we have received. Here today, we're going to learn some life lessons about possessions. James tells us what we need to do. The first life lesson tells us this. If we leave God out of the financial picture, it will strongly, negatively impact our spiritual lives. To say it in a simple way today would be this. Stuff, material possessions, without God, actually leads to spiritual poverty. And we need to try to make sure that we avoid that. Listen again to the very challenging words of James in chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Now listen, you rich people. Weep and wail because of the misery that is coming on you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Now, let's identify the last days. When are the last days? Because it's easy to say, well, maybe we're not living in the last days now. Yes, we are. We are living in the last days. The last days began with the ascension of Jesus Christ. After his resurrection, he spent some time preparing his followers to go out and to share the best news to all the world, and then he ascended to heaven. At that moment, the last days began. And today, we are living in that same era. And as we look at wealth, we see here in this passage that James shows us the symbols of wealth, and we have to translate that into our culture here today. In biblical days, wealth is symbolized by food, most often called grain, because that's how they ate, as well as clothing, as well as gold and silver. So think about those as symbolic for us today. In the biblical days, if a person living in the first century world had more than one set of clothes to wear, he or she was considered rich. Most people had one set of clothes to live on, and that's all they had. We need to understand their world to understand what James is trying to tell us today. Food, clothes, and gold and silver, symbolic of wealth. Today for us, it includes a lot more categories than that. Food, clothing, transportation, whatever roof we have over our head, housing is included in that. Our bank accounts, savings, our recreational pursuits that we choose to do on the side, as well as retirement and Social Security. All of those are symbols of the things that we have today. Here's what we need to start with. They all belong to God. They're not ours. We have a temporary possession of them, and God is asking us to be good stewards of what he has lent us, what he's allowed us to have for a period of time. They are gifts from him. And if we leave God out of that picture, that total financial picture that I just described, then that means that we are experiencing spiritual poverty. We'll never have the experience of the abundant life that Christ offers if we'll turn them all over to him and try to be good stewards of those resources. Martin Luther said it very simply, and he said it very well. He said, wealth is the smallest thing on earth, the least gift that God has bestowed on mankind. We're invited to bring God into the financial picture. If we don't, we'll have spiritual poverty. So what does he ask? As the Lord of all, what is he asking of us? He's saying, please don't hoard the possessions that I have lent to you now. Don't keep them all for yourselves. They are meant to be shared. And what does that mean? That leads to the second life lesson about possessions. Be sure that we are sensitive to those who are not rich. I want to really be inviting you to think about those who have the smallest voice in America. those who are poor, those who are needy. Look at verse 4 from James 5. Look, James says, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. Again, let's go back to the biblical day. The normal pay period for a worker in the first century world is every day. They were paid every day for whatever work they did. Why? Because they needed it just to survive. Those who didn't have a lot of resources, those who would be considered poor, they needed to be paid every day. Look at what we read in Leviticus chapter 18, verse 13. Do not defraud or rob your neighbor. Do not hold back the wages of a hired worker overnight. Again, be thinking about the people who are poorer than us. Deuteronomy 24, verses 14 and 15. Do not take advantage of a hired worker who is poor and needy, whether that worker is a fellow Israelite or a foreigner residing in one of your towns. Pay them their wages each day before sunset because they are poor and counting on it. Otherwise, they may cry to the Lord against you, and you will be guilty of sin. Now, I believe there is a principle here that goes a lot further beyond just when a person needs to be paid, when an employee needs to receive his or her wages. And I believe it's this. How do we treat people who are not rich? Think about our American culture. Who has the loudest voice? It's definitely the wealthy. They're the ones that people pay attention to. They're the ones who get the notoriety and the fame. How do we treat the people who pick up the garbage off the street every day? How do we treat the people who clean things? How do we treat those table waiters when we go to a restaurant and we have enough food to purchase that? How do we treat the people that are there? How do we treat the checkout people at the grocery store when we go there? Kindly? With respect? With love? How do we treat people without jobs? How do we deal with those who are homeless, who have no place to live in our communities? These are some things for us to think about as we realize how blessed we are. And as we do that, remember our model, Jesus Christ. When he came here to live, did he live in a palace? He could have. He had all the resources of the universe. But he chose to live simply, basically, as a homeless man, going from place to place. And who did he reach out to? Was it just the wealthy and the well-known in his community? No. He reached out primarily to those who were poorer, to those who were hurting. There's another key issue that we need to keep in mind in our American culture today. When it comes to the use of the resources we have, how are we doing with debt management? Are we getting ourselves into exorbitant debt because we want something real quick and right away? And so we just dive in and we get things on credit and we build up such a large amount of debt that, again, it hurts us and it might even hurt others around us, including family members. I also believe that we need to give some unconditional attention to another group of people. People who are spiritually poor. People who have not yet become followers of Christ. And there are so many of them around us. How are we reaching out to them? How are we treating them? I want you to listen to the video of a young lady who transparently reaches out to followers of Christ and shares her heart. She's representing a lot of people in our community. Listen to her story. Evaluate where you are in your life today.
When's it gonna happen? When are you gonna tell me? When are you gonna show me? Are you really just gonna keep it to yourself? I mean, sure, we hang out with a completely different crowd and listen to different music, but is that really all it takes? What are you scared of? I'm not talking about how you've done it before by judging me. Do you really think judging me is gonna make me change? Would it make you change? What I need is for you to pick me up when I'm down, to be there, just be there, you know? There's something missing in me. Sometimes it feels like there's this hole in my heart and nothing I do ever fills it. But you found it. You have this thing, this person that makes you whole. Listen to me. I need you. I need you to walk out of here ready to do whatever it takes. No matter the cost, show me what unconditional love looks like. I mean, stop telling me about this God of yours and show me who he really is. You know, it may not be cool, and people may talk, and honestly, I'll probably argue with you. And when you screw up, I'll probably call you a hypocrite. But don't give up on me. Please, don't give up on me. So let me ask you again. When's it gonna happen?
Will you have a heart for the spiritually poor and reach out to them with patience and unconditional love? Or are church people just going to continue to judge people? This past Sunday, we had a newcomer's lunch, and after we finished, we had some leftover food. And one of the young ladies there said, you know, I've got a friend. I'd love to bring a meal to her. Could I just get up a little bit of this food and take it with me? And she said, she's a friend of mine, and she's an atheist. And I was so excited to see her heart for wanting to reach out unconditionally to a friend who probably hasn't heard the truest story of our awesome one true God. Will we have a heart for them? For the physically poor, for the spiritually poor? When we have compassion like that for people, it's going to bring great glory to God. James emphasizes in verse 5 another life lesson about possessions. If we live just to spend it on ourselves, it's going to hurt ourselves and others. The third life lesson about possessions is this: self-centered wasting hurts us and others. Listen again, verses 5 and 6 from James chapter 5. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you. Basically, James is giving us a written picture of a pig that is eating day after day after day with no idea that one day it's going to be slaughtered. Let's make sure that we don't do that. That first sentence, you have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. That means living totally for self, spending everything on ourselves. In Scripture, we are invited to follow the golden rule. Many of you know what that is, to love God with all of our hearts, to love other people as well. Unfortunately, here in our culture, in our capitalistic society, it's tempting to practice another type of golden rule. He who has the gold rules. That's really how we live a lot here. Whoever has the most possessions, The wealthy are the ones who are heard. The voices of the poor, they're not heard. So James has warned us. He's given us all the warnings here in these six verses of our text about how to make sure we don't exclude God from that important part of life, to make sure that we're not self-centered in the way that our resources are used. So how can we be blessings to others? How can you and I be blessings to other people by the way we live? It's very simple. There are technically only four words and 3 points that we'll use, but in their simplicity, they are powerful. Here's number one: choose contentment. Make it your choice that you will be content where you are today. Look at what Paul says in Philippians 4:12. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. Paul says, I have learned it. It doesn't come naturally, folks. Contentment will not happen unless you make a commitment to do that. Because what does our natural self long for? We want the newer, the bigger, the better, the greater. Whatever it is, that's what we want. There was a time when a very wealthy man that many of you would remember, a multimillionaire named John D. Rockefeller, sound familiar? Made this statement. He said, save 10%, tithe 10%, live on 80%. It would be so easy for us to hear that statement and say, yeah, I could sure live off 80% of his salary and be very content. But we need to avoid that. The scripture does not ask us to be content on someone else's salary. But it does ask us to be content with what we have been given. And we need to be content, and we need to be thankful, be grateful for the blessings of God. And remember this, contentment does not mean complacency. It doesn't mean you don't work hard, don't do your best. It's possible to do both, to be a hard worker and to be content. That's step number one in how to make sure that we are managing God's resources wisely. Step number two, one word, simplify. Simplify the way that you live. Proverbs is a book of wisdom. Chapter 15, verse 16, we read these words. Better a little with the fear of the Lord. That means respect, honor, love, devotion, than great wealth with turmoil. Recognize the differences between need and greed. Do we really need to possess all the things that the world is advertising for us to possess? In my study and research this week, I came across a crazy story that actually happened about a president and his wife who were deposed from their country. And let me just tell you, it was not America. I am not going to say their names because I don't want to be critical of them, but you can probably remember this story. They were deposed from the office of president because the allegations were that they had stolen billions of dollars from their country as a result of being in the leadership role there. Now, I do want to encourage you to learn something from their bad example. When they fled the country, they had a plane that was filled with all their possessions. Everything on the plane was theirs that they took away. But they left behind some things. The wife left behind 3,000 pairs of shoes. 3,000 pairs of shoes that she couldn't take with her, and 500 sets of undergarments. 500 sets. And in one day, while she was there as the wife of the president of this country, she spent $12 million on jewelry in one day. One day, bought $12 million worth of jewelry. Now, can you imagine having to give an answer to God one day on those use of resources. And by the way, the country that they led was a very, very poor country overall. Hey, here's the good news. We are not going to have to give an account of someone else's choice of stewardship principles. We're not going to have to give an answer for them. But the true news is we are going to have to give an answer for our own stewardship before God. So how would we rank today? How would we do if we were to give an answer to God today? And here's what I want to encourage you to think about. As you think about simplifying your life, making some simple choices that could help in that area, if you are married, make sure that you have that conversation with your spouse about possible options for the future. Because if you're together in that journey, it will strengthen your marriage. It will give you unity as you move ahead. And together you will experience the blessings of God as you try to follow His principles. I want to encourage some of you, if you're struggling in that area of finances, Lee has put together some great journey classes that are coming up. You have an insert in your bulletin about that. All of those look so good. I just wish I could be at every one of them. But if you're struggling in your financial area, there are a couple of men in our body who are going to be teaching a class on how to improve in that area. It's the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace class. You'll see more details there. And what I've done for you on your outline is given you a simple link that you can connect with. And there you could find some very simple resources, whether you take the class or not, some tools from his ministry, how to get out of debt, budgeting forms. There are so few families that put together a budget, and that's so important for the future. Preparing for the future, that's all there. And there's one other step that I want to recommend that will help you be a blessing to God and a blessing to others. How? Make a commitment to share. Be one who chooses to give. One word, be a giver. Could that be said about us by the way we live? Look at 2 Corinthians 9:7. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, it's so easy to say, you know, if I just had more, then I could be more generous. But you know what really happens? Sometimes the more we get, the greedier we become. It's not about how much we could have, it's about what we have right now. I have seen this for decades. Additional things can become addictive. And then people want more and more and more instead of giving. Let's be as generous as we can with what God has given us today. And by the way, being a giver is so much bigger than just giving money. We need to give our time in service. We need to give our talents and our spiritual gifts that God has given us so that they can be used in the kingdom work as well. I just want you to know that in my time as a follower of Christ and as someone who has been an equipper in ministry, I have seen through the decades that the people who have the most fulfillment in life are the ones who have chosen to give. I have seen this without any exception. If we choose to give of the resources that God has lent us, we will find fulfillment. I love this quote by Randy Alcorn. He is the author of the book Heaven, which some of our men are studying on Tuesday nights now. He said, God prospers me not to raise my standard of living, but to raise my standard of giving. God gives us more money than we need so that we can give generously. And again, do we have an awesome model? Our Savior, Jesus Christ, who came here and gave and gave and gave. He lived that kind of lifestyle, modeling for us the way that we can give of the awesome blessings that he has given us. Jimmy mentioned earlier our cover dish meal on the 20th. That's going to be a special day in so many ways. We have baptism that morning in our service. We're going to also have baptism that evening at our dinner. We're also going to be dealing with some of the ways that this church is giving in our community and beyond our community. You are going to hear some of the most inspiring stories that evening that you never knew were happening. I really invite you, come and enjoy that fellowship time and see how your church here, Summit, is choosing to give. And I just pray that when people think about this church, that the first thing that they think of is not how awesome the music ministry is or how bad the pastor's preaching is, but how giving that faith family is. That's how I would love to know how Summit is being remembered. Let's be known as a people who are committed to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. This then is how you ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the mysteries God has revealed. Now, it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. Let's be those kind of people. Let's be faithful followers of Christ. Let's be like that old song says, may all who come behind us find us what? Faithful. God, that's our prayer. Our prayer is not that people will remember us, but that they'll remember the one who gave to us. And God, that's you. You have given so many things to us, and we are humbled by that. And as we follow you, God, we pray that you will help us to be faithful followers, givers of the resources you have passed on to us. We look forward to how that's going to be fleshed out, God, because we want others to see you. There's so many people like that young lady in the video who are looking not just for people to talk, but for people to show the difference. And may we be that people, Father. People who show the difference by the way we live. So touch us now, God. Speak to us. May all who come behind us find us faithful. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.